morning for McMurray, Wood Buffalo, and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Mac City Morning Show. I am your host, Elliot Pierre, and we're going to start today's episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me. So thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
How's it going, you guys? It's Jake White, JJW, coming at you from Norrell Toyota in Fort McMurray. Just wanted to say hi and come on down and check the place out.
Hi, my name's Richard. I'm the service manager here at Norrell Toyota.
Hi there, I'm Adam. I'm here at Norrell Toyota. I'm a product advisor.
Hi, I'm Cass. I'm the appointment coordinator. Happy to help you.
Hey, it's Keith Simpson here. I'm the general manager of Norrell Toyota, soon to be Fort McMurray Toyota. Pretty excited for our new dealership. As you've seen, you met all my staff. These guys are all my family. We're here to take care of you. Come on down and be part of our family.
And we are back. Big shout out to Norrell Toyota, our title sponsor for today's episode. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. As everybody at home knows, I don't introduce my guests because they can do a better job of that than myself. So, sir, can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
Sure. My name is Eric Tevely. I'm the owner of Inner City Diesel, which is a company that started here in Fort McMurray.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about the company. What do you guys do?
So we started out as a mechanical company. Okay. I'm a heavy duty mechanic, so started out with one service truck, and okay. Now I think we've got around 40 service trucks.
What?
Around 80 mechanics. We were up to 330 employees last year. So we've got peaks and valleys with employees, but we morphed from being just a mechanical supply company into a tailings and fluid management company. So anything around like mining, the first line reclamation with cleanups of the ponds and stuff like that.
Wild. Congratulations, man.
Yeah, thank you.
How long have you been in business for?
16 years now.
Holy camoly. So explain the origin story for me, please, and thank you.
Okay, it's kind of a long origin story.
That's all right. Got nothing but time.
Okay, well, so I went through a divorce. So I'll back it up even a little bit further. I started as a mechanic when I was 19 years old. I started working in my first shop and fell in love with seeing the mechanics and how cool they were, like how they could fix like this big iron and work on engines. And so I got into mechanics.
Right.
I was running my first shop by the time I was 22 years old.
Okay.
And I had a wife at the time, and it wasn't going well. And so we ended up breaking up. It was a bad breakup.
Mm-hmm.
We had two children together.
Oh, wow.
And I, yeah, I started early. And so I lost custody of both my sons at that time.
Yeah.
And she was doing bad stuff. She was into drugs, and she never left like teenagehood at the time.
Right.
And so when I lost my sons and seen the environment that they were living in, I felt really helpless. Yeah. I hated myself. I gave up on myself, and I ended up on the street for about a year.
Okay.
And I was suicidal and on every kind of drug that there was. I was trying to end myself.
Yeah.
And I hated myself. So,
yeah.
My family though didn't give up on me. So I was missing for a few weeks. I was in the basement of a house and, like a crack shack, if you will.
Yeah.
And I probably would have never came out of that basement. But my family had a deal with the RCMP, like they were looking for me, right?
Right.
And so there was an auxiliary RCMP at the time. Do you know what an auxiliary is? So he was out for a ride along.
Yeah.
It's he's not a real RCMP officer. So this guy heard the story from my family and was trying to help look for me.
Yeah.
This guy was a millionaire and had a similar story to mine, and that's why he was trying to look for me. So they found me. It was 3 weeks that I was in the basement of this place. Probably wouldn't have come out. I was trying to end myself there.
Yeah.
And this guy pulls me out and says to me, Eric, like, what are you doing? Like, you have family that loves you. Mm-hmm. You know, you have kids that are waiting for you.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm trying to end myself. Like, I failed my kids.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I have the exact same story.
Yeah.
Except I changed things and now I'm a millionaire and I got full custody of my kids.
Right.
And so that piqued my interest a little bit. I didn't really believe him.
Yeah.
But I gave him the benefit of the doubt. He said, meet me for a coffee tomorrow. Mm. And so this is kind of like early evening that I think that they pulled me out. I'm kind of foggy on it all.
Yeah.
But I decided to go and meet him the next day. Met him the next day. And he just said, look, man, like, you got to concentrate on yourself. If you want things to happen for you in life, the first thing that you got to do is fix yourself. Like, you know, when the masks drop in an airplane, if there's an emergency, you got to put yours on first. That's right.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I ever heard that was him telling me that. And mm-hmm. I'll never forget it. And so we went from there because I didn't really fully believe him. He said, I can see you don't believe me. Let's go and look at some of my places.
Yeah.
And this is in Prince George at the time.
Yeah.
And so we went around and he had a couple mansions in Prince George with nice cars in the garages and could see it was legit. Mm-hmm. And so I bought in and I started coming off the street. The first thing I did was I got a job at Moxie's. I was washing dishes.
Okay.
I started to hang around my parents a bit more. My parents moved to Prince George just to be close to me.
Yeah. Family, obviously, man.
Yeah, huge support. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely couldn't have done it without. So the next part of the story is I was working in my dad's garage and I think we were doing an oil change on his car or something simple, you know, and he's just spending time with me trying to help me out. And he said to me in his garage, exact words, Eric, I'll do anything to help you get back on your feet. And I my back was to him. I turned around and I said, if you buy me a service truck, I'll make us both millionaires.
Yeah.
And he said, get in the car. Let's go.
No.
Like it's exactly how it happened. And so my dad, like my parents, weren't rich by any stretch of the imagination, but my dad had a visa with 40K on it, somewhere around 40K.
Okay.
So we get into his car
and
I'm like, is this fucking happening, Dad? And we drive down to the Dodge dealership and he couldn't afford to buy a service truck, but he bought a cabin chassis. So he bought just the cab with no box on it. With like the start of a service truck, and he paid for it. It was the last of his money. He didn't have anything else. So I went and made a deal to work at a steel shop where they're manufacturing service bodies.
Yeah.
And I'd work during the day, and then I'd build a service body at night. And after a few months, we had a service truck.
Okay.
And I went to work. And so that's...
And this is in Prince George.
This is in Prince George.
Okay.
So then I started working,
it's just you, right?
Just me, Okay. And there's not much money in Prince George, and I did a couple bigger jobs, and guys they were having trouble paying me, and I did my apprenticeship in Fort McMurray, and so I knew what Fort McMurray was all about, and I'm like, and my dad too, he's like, just let's go back up there, and so I came up here, and the first job that I had, it's not that I couldn't find work, but I was looking for something steady. And while I was looking for something steady, they were twinning the highway at the time.
Yeah.
And so I worked in the middle of the night, every night, for cash under the table on the gravel trucks that were helping twin the highway.
Right.
And so I did that for a few months before I got my first real contract here. And then I got my second real contract and just started building and, yeah, so that's the origin story.
How many cars are you up to now?
We're 180 to today. We're
that's wild.
Yeah.
So these are all like different forms of trucks.
No. So I diversified the company.
Okay.
So in I probably around 2014.
Yeah.
I started to realize I was plateauing, like just as a mechanical service company.
Yeah.
I was plateauing at about $5 million in revenue,
right.
On like per year, right?
Yeah.
And no, like the big players like Suncor or you know any of the bigger companies, they're not going to give you a chance at a bigger contract
That's
if you're only doing $4 or $5 million in revenue a year, right?
That's right.
So I was like, man, I got to think outside the box. I was partnered with Calmont at the time.
Yeah.
And I was their rental hub for here.
Yeah.
And so I started going after vehicle rental contracts, and I got one. I got the Syncrude vehicle rental contract, which was, you know, at the time, it was anywhere from $5 to $10 million a year in vehicle rentals.
That's right.
So I landed that, and at the same time, I was diversifying. We were working around tailings a lot at the time, and so I became the distributor for a product called Global Pump out of the States.
Yeah.
Which landed us another, you know, $5 million in kind of revenue. So in 2016, when oil prices kind of tanked a little bit, we had a bit of a problem in 2016.
Of course.
We tripled our revenue. And then at the same time, though, as tripling our revenue, we went through a bit of a tough time there because the fires in 2016 as well, right?
Yeah.
So we took possession of an $8.5 million building out at Rickard's Landing, January 1st, 2016, and then I took possession of a $1 million house that my new wife and kids we were moving into, and sorry,
this is awesome. Keep going.
Well, to go back though, just for a second, because I gotta give some props to my wife here.
Yeah, dude.
She was there at the same time. She was in Prince George.
Yeah,
and she really helped me.
Okay.
Here as well, come out of, you know, out of all that shit, and did nothing but support me. So,
your wife.
Yeah. So, here we're in 2016 now. You know, we've done well as a business. I've got a full management team, you know, now in place. We're probably 50, 60 employees.
Yeah.
You know, with the tripling of our business.
That's right.
Doing well, and took possession of our $1 million home, the $8.5 million building that we're going into.
Yeah.
Things are good, right?
Yeah.
Business is good, big things on the horizon, and then the fires happen. And again, my parents, both my mom and my dad, and my sister Laura at the time, they all came in to help because we had to lay off all the management.
Yeah.
I had to go back on the tools.
Wow.
We had no revenue for four months.
Yeah.
And all these like massive bills, we didn't have disruption insurance,
right.
Anything like that, right?
Yeah.
So we had a real tough time, but we still managed to maintain that triple revenue, and then continued to really take off and grow from there. So
that's incredible. I think that's what some individuals, like when you're not a business owner yourself, you hear about these numbers and they sound huge, and you're like, how could you ever not do well when you're generating that kind of revenue?
Yeah.
But when you're generating that kind of revenue, you're paying that type of bills. Your overhead is it's matching. You're not, you don't have unlimited money that just like materializes.
No.
And
the hard times is where, you know, a lot of people will throw in the towel. And to, in all honesty, like I'm no superhero. I was like, should we shut the business down? You know, like this is not good. We couldn't afford to eat. Like I couldn't take a paycheck.
Yeah.
And we got kids and you know, mortgage and all this stuff.
That's right.
And so it was tough. We came here living in a camper.
Yeah.
Because we had nothing.
Yeah.
You know, from Prince George to here, we lived in a camper, and then in, you know, built the company, and then again in 2016, here we are, we're living in a camper again.
Yeah.
And
making it work.
Yeah. And there's more, like down the road there, and we're going through a tough time right now.
Yeah.
In all honesty, like the economy hasn't been great for everything for us. We've because of all of our growth, so we've from there, you know, we've grown every single year, and we kind of overstepped our growth a little bit. Like, so I'm a mechanic. I'm not an MBA.
Right.
You know, I don't have a degree. I didn't even graduate from high school.
Yeah.
And so as far as structuring the business, I've made mistakes along the way.
Yeah.
But I've surrounded myself with good people that are honest and hardworking.
Yeah.
And so it's really helped.
Yeah.
But last year...
Mm-hmm.
we had a really big year. We had a record year in growth.
Yeah.
But we weren't set up for it, and yeah, so we fell down a bit again last year.
Right.
But because of like all of that perseverance and dedication that we've been through, like from the start, started with nothing.
Yeah.
You know, we're able to hold it together.
Yeah.
And awesome. and strengthen like from the tough times, yeah, right? And
very
so.
Cool.
Yeah.
Great story.
Yeah, thanks.
On that note, we're going to send it to another entrepreneur, Carrie from Patchouli Rose. Take it away.
Hi, it's Carrie with Patchouli Rose Herbal Apothecary. I know our summer is coming quickly to an end. And during the summer, we always think of applying our sunscreen. But sunscreen is a product that we should be using every day of the year to protect our skin against harmful UVA and UVB rays, also against premature aging. I have a product called Dandelion Harvest, which is moisturizing, anti-inflammatory, and is great for anti-aging. You can use this every day of the year, and it's very moisturizing. If you want to check this product and any of my other products out, please go to patchoulirose.com.
And we're back. So, that's an amazing story of just perseverance. So, where do you think you get that from?
I don't know a good answer to that right off the start. I mean, so I've been involved with a lot of sports.
Yeah.
And I think that really helps, like for youth to be involved with sports, where it's like, it kind of teaches you a foundation, of you know, nothing's easy. Like you're not going to succeed in sports.
Yes.
And if people are just giving you a ribbon every time saying you've done great, you've done great, right? Like, I had one of my mentors say to me the other day, we have a comfort crisis in the world right now. And it's true, we do. Yeah. You know, everybody's like, yeah, you're good. Like, no, you're not. You're failing, you're falling down, and you're not doing what it takes to actually do well, right?
Yeah.
So I'd like to keep pushing myself too.
Yeah.
Right now, me and my wife are both Canadian champion kickboxers.
Okay.
And we've got worlds coming up here, and yeah, like
you're a pretty interesting dude, bro. Just so you know, we were talking like for about a half an hour before we started filming.
Yeah.
How did that not come up?
Yeah.
Okay, keep going, please.
Yeah. Well, I played hockey and fought my whole life and.
Right.
Trained at Bowman's here quite a bit when I was living here, and it's just something that's in my blood. I love the competition of fighting, the uniqueness of being in a ring with one other person and figuring stuff out. Yeah.
So where are you going to compete next?
Calgary is where Worlds is this year for the WKU. Yeah.
Wow. And so to qualify for that, like, was there many competitions prior to? Like, what's the benchmark you have to achieve before you get invited there?
Yeah, so you've got provincials.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to win provincials to qualify to go to nationals. And then you've got nationals where you've got to win in nationals to qualify to to be part of Team Canada. So
okay. And so is this a hobby that you and your wife have had for a while? Like, because you've been together for a long time now. So where did this kind of place in the relationship timeline?
That's a cool story. So I met Nikki, my wife. I met Nikki in a bar.
Okay.
And we just, you know, it was kind of instant, hey, I like you.
Yeah.
And so we hooked up, but then we didn't see each other for a long time. That was just, it was like a one-time fling.
Yeah.
And then, but when I was coming out of all the crap off the street, I started boxing again. So I go to this boxing gym that I've been part of since I was a kid.
Right.
And I'm training away, days and days are going by. All of a sudden, Nikki shows up at this boxing gym.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, how are you doing? And and so we started dating, but dating wasn't allowed in our boxing gym.
Oh.
And so we dated, I don't know, it was probably for a few months at least, 3-4 months. And everybody knew is the thing, but we thought we were being secretive. So the head coach, like the more experienced fighters would go and we would spar, and the whole team would kind of come watch when we sparred, right? And we would do it once a week or whatever. And so I get called in, and there's a few other guys, and it's usually the guys, but he calls Nikki in as well.
Yeah.
And we're not really thinking anything of it. We're all gearing up. And then the coach, the first ones that he calls into the ring, he's like, Eric and Nikki.
Yeah.
And the whole team was like, ooh, like they all knew right away, right? Yeah.
That's wild. That's so cool. So it's a passion that you've consistently kept up with then.
Yeah. We've had three kids along the way. And so, you know, there's been times where she couldn't train and stuff like that.
But, of course. And are your children involved?
Our one daughter is doing karate.
Okay.
We've had our boys go through and taught them how to do some stuff. And
that's really cool, man.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Well, listen, this show is on a timeline, so we're out of time, unfortunately,
right,
for them, because you and me are going to still continue to talk for a little bit afterwards. But before I cut you loose, everybody gets a shameless shout-out or plug. So you have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
To give a plug to somebody?
Shout-out, plug, anything, man. Your business, your wife, your car, your dog, the air. We've had some pretty unique answers.
Right. Well, this is the Fort Mac show. I guess I would give a shout-out to Fort Mac. Like, this place gave me my start. This place allowed me to grow my business. This place supported my family for all these years. And like anybody, there's still people that talk bad about Fort Mac. And I'm like, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Fort Mac is a beautiful place. It's amazing to raise a family. There's nothing but good that's come out of here for me.
There we go.
So
awesome, man. That's a good shout out. Well, Fort McMurray with Buffalo, the rest of the world, that's been another episode of the Mac City Morning Show. From the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for tuning in. It means the world to me. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Neural Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose. Thank you both for your support. Hope everybody at home is having a great time, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
What a deadly old way to end another morning show. Later, boss.
It's so ballistic!
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst.